To God be the glory to be able to say it is well. Amen? Amen. Amen. Stephanie's going to help me out. How many of you have a sheet that would say praying for? If you don't have a copy of that, just lift your hand. If you came in, they passed out a few of those, but you may have come in and actually didn't get one. We'll make sure you have one this morning. Well, amen. I would encourage you, if you're not familiar with that particular historical reference in the text, 2 Kings chapter 4, I would encourage you to go read that. It's such a beautiful demonstration of the mercy and the grace of God in that. And there's some great things to pick up on as you're reading through it. And how this woman had a heart for this man of God, and they set aside a place, built a room for him. Some churches in our day, when they build new buildings or whatever it is, they'll often build an additional room on that building that they build and put a kitchen in it or put a bed in it, and they call it a prophet's chamber. And they do that so when they have incoming preachers that are coming in from out of town or whatever, they'll be able to stay there while they're on the field working with them. And they call that a prophet's chamber, and they get that out of that story right there where they built an addition on the side of their house so when the prophet came through, he'd have a place to stay. And God blessed them over that because they were without a child, and he prophesied and said they were going to have a child, and they did. But it's a neat picture, too, is that when Elisha was there with his servant Gehazi, there was a time when the Shunammite woman come to reveal to him what happened to the child and say that it is well. As Elisha looks out and sees and recognizes her coming, he says these words. He had not been foretold by the Lord of the events that had taken place. So that gives us a hint that this man that walked with God, God would give him a word before an event took place or when it took place so that when people came to him, he was fully aware and he was ready to give a word from the Lord. But he was caught off guard on this and said God had not spoken to him about it. Now that speaks volumes to me of the fact that we worship the same God and are called to the same God that Elisha served, and that God wants to manifest and reveal things to us that he may not reveal to everybody, that we can be ready for a situation when we're faced with it. Amen? That's just a neat. I would encourage you to read in that. But I want you to take your copy of God's Word this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. We're going to continue with our prayer series. We have looked at several messages dealing with praying for the saints, that is, those who belong to the Lord, been saved by the grace of God. And now we are going to move into praying for the stewards. And we're going to look at what it means to be a steward this morning and what a steward really desires in his life and for what God to do. And we're going to look at that from the Word and learn some things together as we walk together with the Lord. So if you'd stand in honor, I know you got your Bibles on your lap with your paper in front of you. You was ready to go to work, wasn't you? And I messed you up. But we stand at times to continue to remind us that we have been privileged with the Word of God. Not everybody has a copy of God's Word. There are people in America, in the cities of America, and maybe some rural places that don't have a copy of this precious Word of God. And there's more people around the world. You take in China and various places. You know, China is getting to the point where they have more believers in China than America does. They're claiming that they're seeing on an average in China. Now, China's big. We all know that. Lots of people in China, over a billion people in China, that they're seeing up to 20,000 converts a day in China. That God is doing a mighty work there. But there are places all over the world that they don't have a copy of the Word of God, and we've been blessed with a copy. Amen? Amen. He says in verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter number 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That is, being in and of the Spirit of God, led of God, and watching thereunto in the Spirit with all perseverance and all supplication for all saints. So you see the biblical mandate that we're to pray for all saints. Amen? Amen. Then he says in verse 19, and for me, that is, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein, as this ambassador, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Father, we bless you today and thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace that brings us into a place that we can believe your word, and that we can believe you, and that we can trust you and take you at your word. And Lord, I pray today that you would help us as we approach your throne of grace, for you are our Father, therefore you are our provider. You are our shield because you are the one who protects us. You are the one who keeps us from error. You're the one who manifests your truth as our teacher unto us. And we're asking you as our rock and refuge to send forth the power of your spirit and manifest that within us to illuminate your truth to us today, that you may teach us how to comprehend that which is written. We're going to give you the praise and the glory for helping us. We're going to thank you for saving us. And we're going to ask you today that if there are those even in our midst that does not know you as of yet, have not obeyed your gospel, have not been made a new creature in Christ, that God, it would be a day of deliverance and salvation for them, that you would rescue the perishing and, Lord, revive your people for your glory. So thank you. Teach us how to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is asking the church here at Ephesus, for which he spent the most time with in one single church, wrote the most to out of all the churches, that as he is helping Timothy, the leader over this church, the overseer that God has appointed there for a particular purpose, he is asking the church at Ephesus to do what we've all been called to do, that is to pray without ceasing. To always be led of the Spirit of God, to bring supplications and prayers before God with thanksgiving in our heart. And that as we pray for the saints, we also see a hint in here that he asked the church to pray for him, to pray for him and those that were with him, the stewards of God who were being used by God to preach the living oracles of God. And he asked him some specifics to pray for, and we're going to get into that. Some of it this morning, but dominantly tonight as we come back and gather together, we're going to carry on through. But as a steward, as praying for the stewards, we need to understand some things about stewards. What is a steward? Why does God talk about stewards? And who are they? And what would they look like? And what are some of the requirements of being a steward? I think would help us to understand how to pray for them in light of that. So as we look at this, I also want you to take, and I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. We'll come back to Ephesians, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, I want you to look in verse number 1. Verse number 1. Now the church at Corinth was a church that was operating in carnality. But anybody know what the word carnality means? Something that is carnal. What does that mean? Something that is fleshly. Or we can say this. Something that is carnal is something that mere men do. It's natural. That's all it is. It's something natural. If men can achieve it, accomplish it, think it, or act it out, it's carnal. Doesn't mean that it's bad. But it's natural. It's just what any other mere man may do. It means that it's void of the supernatural. It's void of the presence of God. How many of you'd say that a lot of times in our lives we act carnal, fleshly, because we're doing just like any other mere man would do? We may think like, act like, walk like, just like we did before we ever come to know Christ. That's carnality. You may not have been a mass murderer. We don't have no mass murderers with us today. Amen. You may not have been a fornicator, an adulterer, or an idolater in your eyes and ways. But a carnal person is somebody who just lives like everybody. You know what? A carnal person is somebody who's normal. Normal. You ever just want to be normal? don't want to be normal. It ain't a good thing to be. Amen. We really want to be abnormal. We want to be different from everybody, but not for difference sake, but for the glory of God's sake. We want to be like Christ. Amen. Because he was not normal. Praise God. And we want to be like him, and we're being conformed to his likeness and image. And he says in this passage, notice what Paul states in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 1. He says, let a man, or let any man, let anyone, so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, the servants of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Or we can say, Bill, stewards with the gospel. This is the mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful or trustworthy. One who is faithful to the stewardship that he's been assigned and called to. But notice Paul's terminology here. He says, this is what we want people to think of us. As you pray for me, Paul said, I want you to think of me and know me as a minister or a servant or a slave of Christ and a steward with the mysteries of God. So a steward is one, they are responsible, what? They are responsible and faithful slaves. A steward is a responsible and faithful slave. As you see, you got a blank on your sheet right there. A steward is responsible and a faithful slave. So let's look at these terms that I put on your sheet here for the word minister or servant. The word means to be an under-servant, one at the bottom, a rower in the hull of a ship. So when Paul says, let a man consider us as ministers or servants, he's saying, let a man consider us at the bottom of the ranking. When you think of me, Paul said, think of me at the bottom. What did Paul say about himself? That he was the chief of sinners. That he said, look, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm a sinner just like anybody else. I've been saved by the grace of God, and God's grace is transforming me into the life of Christ. But I know that as a new creature in Christ, I am a slave of Jesus. And I am at the bottom, he says. Let a man consider us as servants of Christ, as one in the hull of a ship, of a one who rows. You know, back in those days, they didn't have steam propulsion. They didn't make boilers back in those days. And what I was a boiler technician on the ship. What Brother Ralph built, they're a little different in their operation, but the basic steam system is the same, isn't it, Brother Ralph? And they would generate steam to turn turbines, to turn a screw, to go through a reduction gear to get that ship moving. That's how we function. In some places they use nuclear power. In some places they use diesel power. And ours was a steam-driven ship that I worked on. I worked on boilers and all the equipment that is associated with it. And but in those days, you know how they got around? Some serious labor, wasn't it? I mean, tracking across the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean or the Pacific. It would take us at times anywhere from a week to 2 weeks to get across with a steam-driven ship running at 20-something knots. Imagine with a sailboat and rowers down there that when you didn't have a good wind pushing you, you had to work, didn't you? And I'm sure they didn't take the top of the top and put them down in the bottom of the row. They took the newest and the least able and those who were your hard laborers. You know, the kind of jobs none of us want. Are you with me? You know, the kind of jobs that, like in America, we're going to other countries and trying to bring people in to do work that they'll do, and they'll do it hard and they'll do it fast, and they won't complain about doing it because they're making more money here than they would over there. But you know the kind of jobs that we won't do? The kind of jobs that we'll want to put on somebody, that Paul said, let a man consider us like that, at the bottom, as one down in the hull of a ship, as a rower. But not only that, what does the word mean? Let's look at this, the word steward, though, what does it mean? A steward is one who is under orders. and accountable to govern people and resources. A steward is an overseer. A steward is a manager. Not the owner of a ship, but one who controls the helm and oversees the crew, or what we would know as a captain or even an executive officer of a ship. Now, I want you to get this picture here. Paul is saying, let a man consider us as a rower down in the bottom, as a slave of Christ, but also let him consider us as being one who has oversight, the one who's the captain of the ship. A captain with the stewards of the mysteries of God. That's two ends of the spectrum, isn't it? I mean, he's saying, let a man, when you consider us as being a slave of God, consider us at the bottom. Just another servant along other servants doing what we've been called to do. But we understand the accountability that we've been called to do with the mystery of the gospel. And God's given us such great responsibility as his slave that he's given us not only to be a slave of his at the bottom, but we also stand as the captain of the ship who has responsibility of the whole ship. So that's saying, I understand my responsibility as a steward, that I am to give oversight, and therefore I must protect what's been given to me. Amen. As a saint of God, I want to be a steward of God who has been given much responsibility by God, especially with the mystery of the gospel. Amen. And understand that that's a high calling upon our lives, and we need to pray for those who, as Paul would say, if you want to know who is greatest among you, let him what? Let him be your servant. If you want to find somebody who is somebody who you want to have leadership over your life, look for somebody who will serve you. Amen. And if he won't serve you, you don't want him leading you. You want a servant leader. Somebody who sees themselves at the bottom in the ship, helping the ship get to where the captain wants it to go. But at the same time, realizing that I have such accountability with what God's given me, that I am a steward. I'm an overseer. I am a captain over what he's blessed me with. And therefore, he's given me great accountability to take care of those things that he's blessed me with. And praise God for the calling of being a steward with the mysteries of the gospel. What a calling upon our life. Now, that would mean then that with greater responsibility and accountability, we need to learn how to pray for these men and women who have been called not only to be that servant leader, that slave, but one who's been given much responsibility, because with much responsibility comes much accountability. And the enemy attacks. He attacks. If he can divert that steward, if he wants that ship, all he's got to do is divert that steward who is in control of that ship and woo him in, and then the whole ship's going to go that direction. You see, God's given us a responsibility to manage a crew, to be responsible over them as stewards, and we need to pray for them. And I've got a definition here that I wrote. A steward has made himself or his life available to his master and sees it as an honor to advance the master's cause by supporting his agenda, managing his people, protecting his resources, and fulfilling his orders at whatever the cost. A steward must be found what? Faithful. Amen? There's a lot to say about Brother Ralph as a business owner with multiple things going on around, to have somebody to help manage your work that supports your vision as a business owner who you can entrust things with. That's hard to pass up when you have somebody that is going to work for a man and do what a man's called him. David Bryan, you understand what I mean? That when you got somebody that you can tell them what to do and they're going to get it done, they're not going to hurt you. They're not going to harm you. They're not going to rip you off. Tommy, you ought to know what I'm talking about. When you got somebody that can work for you, that will do that, and their whole purpose at whatever the cost is to make you a better company and a better resource, that's the kind of people you want working for you. Amen? Well, the same thing applies for the kingdom of God who works for Jesus. You know, Toxie Hayes puts a lot of responsibility on you, Greg, and lets you run with it and take care of it. You're a steward of his with Mossy Oak. Keith, what's the value of having somebody run your stores for you when you in Y.O. Ranch in Texas? Hey, look, are you with me? That you, look, you can take your hands off because, hey, you're the owner, but you put somebody in charge who's going to support your agenda, who's going to take care of your resources, who will manage your people and do whatever there needs to be done at whatever the cost so that they can help you become what you are to be. That's a steward. You see, folks, that's the responsibility of the servants of God that are stewards, that at whatever the cost, we're going to do what God's called us to do. Amen. That's why it is a requirement. It is what is sought after. The word requirement in our passage in verse 2, it is required in stewards. The word means something that you seek for. This is the thing you're looking for in a steward. Faithfulness. One who is faithful, trustworthy, to take care of the agenda that's been given to it. Davin, your company puts a lot of responsibility on you, and they trust you. And if you've given that over, and you've helped them and made them a lot of money and saved them a lot of money because you are a steward of that company. You got some good help that works with you, and you got to manage the people. And that ain't easy, amen? Working with people's tough. People are just as messed up as you, amen? And you know that. But a steward is willing to endure that for the greater cause. A steward's willing to sacrifice for the cause of the master. A steward is willing to pay the price for the master. And what a blessing it is to be called a steward of the mysteries of the gospel. Now, you know as well as I know, as a business owner or as a steward over anything, you're going to have people that you got to manage that don't like you. Are you with me? Don't like the way you manage things. Don't like the way you do things. Don't like how you spend money. And they don't like how you do this and you don't do that. And they will let other people know they don't like what you do. Are you with me? So we're going to learn that as a steward, well, that same thing happens in the kingdom of God. And we've got to learn how to pray for one another. Amen? Amen. And pray for these men and women that God's given such great accountability to and responsibility to be a steward with the mysteries of the gospel, that we learn how to pray. And what is something that God has placed upon the heart of every good steward? What does a steward want? One thing that I know without question, a good steward is not trying to just get by. They're always looking for ways to make more and to do more with what they got, cut costs at whatever they can. They're always looking for that. Shannon, they not ones who just going to let things go as it is in the sense that, well, we maintain and we'll just keep it this because I'm comfortable here. No, they always got a foresight to do better and to achieve more and to advance more. Well, see, in the kingdom of God, there's some things you always want to look for and you can identify a steward with in his faithfulness. He's always seeking God to open a door of opportunity for his word to be communicated. That is going to be a clear mark upon the people of God that God is using. They're always looking. It doesn't matter. In our day, for an example, it may be they're looking for an opportunity to be able to send somebody to go preach the word, or they're looking for an opportunity maybe even on the internet for the word to go forth. And they're always looking and praying and seeking God's people to pray with them for open doors, for God to open that which only he can open. Close those things which only he can close. And when God closes something, he said, I'll close it. No man can open it. When I open it, no man can close it. Amen? Amen. But we pray for God to open doors of opportunity for us to do what he's called us to do. That's as a steward who's been given such a manager, a governor, one who's been given something to do and learn. They want to know more about it, and they want to know how they can be the best they are with what they got. Stephanie, this past week, she got her new phone. And I want to tell you, it's one of those new iPhones. Some of you have those iPhones. She's invested some time in trying to figure this iPhone out. You knew I was going there? Brother Brown, when you get a new gadget, you ever try to figure it out? Y'all have a GPS or something like that, or anything new that you're trying to figure out, or something that you might use on a new piece of equipment that you get and you want to really know it? Well, Stephanie got this iPhone this past week, and man, she's been at it trying to figure out to maximize the potential on this thing. And she'd been showing me this and showing me that. And we was in Walmart the other day, and I was wanting to know if there was a different price on something else over at another store. And she whips out that iPhone, and she's typing it in, trying to find the number or trying to find a price over at another store. They can do all that stuff. But the only way to really know that it can do all that, you've got to what? You got to learn it. You got to get in there. And she's downloading apps. And Pam's the same way. She done told her. She said, look, I got every app you can get. Just get with me and I'll pass them on to you. You didn't do that by, Davin, you did that, didn't you? You don't do that accidentally because you want to learn it. You want to use it. You want to make it the best that it can be. We see those are marks about a steward with the mysteries of the gospel, is that they really want to know the Lord. Amen. And they want to know His Word. And they invest their lives in His Word and the way God works. And that is a clear mark. If you are not hungering and thirsting for the Word of God to know how God works, I mean, you indulged in it. If that's not you, you're not a steward. You might be a saint, but you're not a steward. You need to be a steward. Amen. A steward with what God has given us. To get in it and love it and live it and long for it and rest upon it. Listen for the Lord and be willing always to give it away as a good steward with a mission. Now, will you fail? You know, good managers still mess up, don't they? I mean, they bust water lines, right, Greg? They dig up things, right, David, that you shouldn't have dug up. Come on. You blame it on your steward, right? A business owner can be good at that, putting it on somebody else. That's kind of like government do. It's just going to fall on somebody, right? Well, that's why Paul said, it often falls on me. I'm at the bottom, I know. But at the same time, I know what God's given me to do, too. You see, but you're going to mess up, and this thing's going to foul up in your life. But there's several things that's going to identify you is that you will seek out the Lord, know everything that is to be known of Him that God gives you the capability of knowing. You want to know Him. You want to make Him known. And you're going to hunt for Him. You're going to seek Him. You're going to long for Him because you want to be the best steward that you could possibly be. And you're going to always continue to seek for open opportunities. I don't know that. Go to Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter number 4. The book of Colossians 4, look in verse number 2. And watch how this word praying is tied together with these thoughts. Paul says in chapter number 4 and verse number 2, he says, continuing in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, at the same time you're praying, also for us, pray for us. These stewards, that God would do what? Open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. That God would open a door of opportunity. Now, those doors come in all kind of ways. Now, y'all realize this, that it may not come the way we think it may work out. When we're praying and asking God's people to open doors of opportunity for us, who knows exactly how that door is going to open? It may open in a way that we didn't anticipate, or it may open in a way that we really didn't want it to open. It may open through death. It may open through rejection. It may open up through imprisonment. Let me illustrate it this way. What book are we reading right now? The book, as in our daily reading, Nesting with the Lord. We're reading the book of what? Philippians, chapter 4 today. I don't know if y'all picked up on this, but go look in Philippians chapter 1. Go back a book and look in Philippians 1. Look if you would, in verse number 12. We'll start there. Philippians 1:12. Paul said, but I would Or I wish, I desire, you should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me. Now, where's Paul at right now? Anybody know? He's in prison. Where at? He's actually in Rome. He's writing to the church at Philippi, but he's in Rome in prison. He says, so the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the what? So the fact that I'm in prison has opened the door to expand the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel, verse 13. So that my bonds, that is my chains in Christ, are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. What palace? Caesar's palace. The head honcho over Rome has opened up a door for Paul. Now watch. Verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord are waxing confident by my what? By my chains or bonds, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Isn't that something? Remember, Paul asked the church to pray for him that God would what? Open a door of opportunity unto them for the gospel to be preached. And he realizes, and you see, this is the thing about a steward. When you're praying for something and you're asking God's people to pray, when you find yourself in a trial and you find yourself in trouble and you find yourself being persecuted and you find yourself in affliction, you don't hold your head down and whine about it, because you're seeing what you've been asking people to pray for you. It's being manifested right before you. You're connected with it. That this very thing, that he's in chains, he's locked up in prison at this moment. And he says, but this very fact that I'm in chains has opened a door of opportunity, that the whole palace of Caesar's hath heard the word of God preached. And not only that, those that have believed in him see me in these chains, not holding my head down, not being wounded as a whoop puppy or whatever, but as a steward with the mysteries of God. And they are becoming more confident to stand up and preach the word. They are going places I can't go because I'm in chains, but they are standing up without fear in their heart, standing on the authority of the word of God, because God's opened the door of opportunity through my trouble in my life. You see, so God may bring something about in your life. It may be something with your family. It may be something with your job. It may be something with your business. It may be something with your church that God does to open a door of opportunity for you to preach the word of God, or others to preach. It doesn't matter if you preach it or I preach it or whoever preaches it. When you're praying for an opportunity for a door to be open and God opens it, you rejoice. Amen. Because God's fulfilling the request of his people. It's what stewards do at whatever the cost. Matter of fact, turn over to chapter number 2. Watch this with Timothy, another steward of God. Verse number 19, chapter number 2, 19. Paul said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Here's another steward. You see, not everybody qualifies as stewards. Paul said everybody else that was around him who he knew, he couldn't send them because they were more self-centered than they were for the sake of the gospel. He said, but you know, Timothy, I'm sending Timothy to you because he will truly care for your state as Jesus does. And he's not out for an agenda. He's a steward of God. And at whatever the cost, whatever the cost him, he's going to stand faithful unto the Lord. Amen. So what did this do? Another door was opened up for the word to go. Amen. Here's Timothy now going out to preach the word. God opening doors of opportunity. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look in verse number 17. verse 16, we'll start there. And another mark of a steward, a good steward, that is praying for doors of opportunity to be open, who is seeking to know everything they can know and long to know of the Lord. A third mark is a faithful steward doesn't mind saying, follow me. Because he knows it's not about him. It's about his master. Now watch. A good manager, a good steward, if he can't say, follow me, he ain't worth his salt. Amen. If he can't teach and lead the people and say, come follow me, he don't need to be a steward. He don't need to be governing or managing anything. But a good steward can. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He says in verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you who? Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. Listen. As I teach everywhere and in every church, a faithful steward. Now, this church at Corinth, remember what we said about it? What was Corinth? They were what? They were a carnal church. Wasn't walking in the power of God's Spirit. Now, God could have, shut the door if he wanted to, but he didn't. He could have said, look, you that are doing the things right, get out and go start another church. What did he do? He sent a faithful brother who would teach them the ways of God, the way things are taught in every place and everywhere, to go back and help that church be what God's called that church to be. Amen. Look, churches are not perfect places. Praise God. They got you in it. Amen. They got me in it. Are you with me? We are in the church, so we know who we are. We know how our lives are. We know how our families are, and our families aren't perfect. Praise the Lord. But we worship a perfect God. Amen. And there's some messed up thing about some of the churches around us. They're more likely some messed up things about us and about our church. Amen. And only as God manifests that, we are then responsible to take heed to it and conform ourselves unto the Lord. But God's not going to just write us off to write us off. What does God do? He says, I got a steward for you that I'll send to you to teach you the way so that we can restore and get back to the place where I want you to be. Amen. And that's what Timothy, that's why it's so important to pray for stewards. Pray for me, amen. Pray for God to open opportunities, doors of opportunities for the word to be spoken. And we're going to learn more about what that actually means in a moment. As we're getting ready to close, let's look, go to 1 Timothy. We'll see this. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3. We're just looking at Timothy for a moment. We've looked at Paul as being a steward, how he wanted people to consider him and those that were with him, which would include Timothy. He says in verse 3 of 1 Timothy 1, he says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, that is talking to Timothy, when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So obviously there were some things going on that were contrary to the truths. Amen. But why did Paul send Timothy to Ephesus? To correct that which was an error. Not to pull out and isolate yourself and get away from it. That could be easy. You know, there are people that are doing that in our modern day. They're isolating themselves. Because there's no question there are ungodly people in the church today. In all churches, there are unbelievers and ungodly people. Everywhere you go, it doesn't matter where you go because it's not a perfect place. But why does God send his steward to places to correct error? Amen. God sent me here to help equip and to teach and manifest his ways to Briggs Chapel in these days for his glory. And where there's error, we're to correct it. Where there's truth, we're to affirm it. Amen. He says, verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So he had a purpose when he left Timothy there. Well, go to 2 Timothy. Actually, go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. That's where I wanted to go. 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, Miss Alice starts off with the requirements of a preacher or of a pastor, and then the requirements of the deacon, the servant leaders. And then he says in verse 14, he said, Timothy, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, if I don't make it to you, I write these things that thou mayest know how you ought to what? Conduct yourself or behave thyself where? In the house of God, which is the what? Church of the living God, that is the people of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church should be a place where the fundamental foundation of the truth is taught and manifest. It should come from us. Amen. So he said, I sent you there to set these things in order that it needs to be, because it was obvious some things got out of order. So he put him there to get things back in order. That's all purposeful. But it takes a steward to do that. Amen. Do you think there would be opposition to that which people may have gone in the wrong direction for a period of time and then God sends a man in to correct some things? Do you think that might be some opposition? It would, but that opposition may be the very thing that God does what he's asking his people to do for a door of opportunity for the word. Amen. We just got to be in tune with what God's doing. Now go to Titus chapter number 1. In verse 5, and we'll close out from here and gather back up tonight and pick up with the thought of this door. Titus, which is 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, then Titus. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5. He says, for this cause, Titus, left I thee in Crete, that you or thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or things that are lacking, and ordained elders in every city as I appointed unto thee. That's a great picture there, isn't it? I left you there. I sent you there. I placed you there as a steward of God, Titus, to set in order that which was lacking. Because like in our homes and in our lives, in our church, there's always things that may be lacking or in want. But God sends his stewards in to set in order that which is lacking. I'm thankful for God's way. Amen. Amen. Thankful for his way. And I'm thankful for the stewards of God. And we need to pray for one another. Amen. Not just that we can be filled with his spirit, though we need to be, without question. Not just so that we can have a revelation of his knowledge and of his will, though we need that, without question. We need to be praying for the saints as we've been learning these things. But we've got to take that prayer to another level and then begin to pray for the stewards of God that God opens doors of opportunity for his word to be spoken. Why? Because we're advancing the agenda of our King. We've been given orders, amen? Amen. And at whatever the cost, we need to fulfill those orders for the glory of God. So y'all come back tonight and we'll pick up where we left off and praying for these stewards and what these things mean in the book of Colossians 4 and Ephesians 6 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 as we look at what he asked them to pray for. But you know, we can pray all day long and not know Jesus, and it has no value. We can sit in the pews week after week after week, not know Jesus, has no value. We can raise our children and grandchildren and be neighborly and friendly and community minded, not know Jesus, won't mean anything for eternity. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I plead with you today. Surrender your life to him. His life for our life. He gave his life and spilt his blood for your life. Give him your life today if you don't know him. And for those that are his, that have already repented of sin and called on the precious name of Jesus, who stood in their stead and took upon the wrath of God for them, and now walk in favor with the Lord. Ask God to freshen your heart and revive and quicken you to have a mind that begins to ask for and seek God to open doors for His word to be spoken. Would you stand with me? Father, we bless you and thank you today. Thank you for the word of God, and thank you for helping us, instructing us, teaching us, not abandoning us. Lord, we know we have done things and messed things up, and there's things that may yet be lacking and in want. But God, you have a purpose, and it is your pleasure to use your people to restore that which is been hindered. So God, we just come before you asking you to raise up stewards out of our congregation right here and help us pray that doors of opportunity will continue to be opened, and help us understand how to pray and why we pray for such things, and to see your hand of favor at work. And we'll give you the praise no matter what you do, for you are worthy of all our adoration and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.